My goal, whether you've been here, this is your first time here, or you've been many times, is that you would leave this place hungrier to pursue Jesus. That you would not look to me for your answers. Hopefully you enjoy what's said today, you get something out of it. But my prayer, every time I get the responsibility to step on this stage, is that God, would you use something that I say today to trigger somebody just to delve deeper into your word, delve deeper into worship with you, dig deeper into prayer with you, and begin them, or maybe continue them on that journey with Jesus. Because I know, 20 years doing this now, that people come and go, but a relationship with Jesus, the Bible tells us, lasts for eternity. Well, I love that scripture Donna shared with us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud or crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us throw off every weight, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and run the race set before us with endurance. And then it goes on, we do this by keeping our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith, Jesus. Even though the shame he endured, he went to the cross because of the joy set before him, and now he sits at the right hand of God. This is what I want to unpack, and we're actually, me and my wife were chatting over breakfast this morning. How good is it to be able to have breakfast on Sunday? Maybe you didn't have breakfast, but hey, don't get used to it, because I'm believing this will expand and we'll do a morning service and an afternoon service. That would sound good, wouldn't it? But me and my wife were talking this morning around this scripture and around this thought of intimacy with God, and this thought I just shared with you about seeking and knowing Jesus is I'm going to start a new series. Everybody loves a series, amen, about how to pursue and how to have an intimate relationship with God. I think this is key. This is important. In fact, I don't know if you've watched the news today, a very interesting choice of words of the No King protest happening in America. And I thought, wow, what an interesting choice of words. No King. And they're talking about, obviously, the President of the United States, but just the tone of there's no king. There is a king. His name is Jesus. And the underlying fact, they probably don't even know that they're being used by spiritual forces, but to get ingrained in people's mind that there is no king, I want to encourage you that this generation needs to know there is a king. It's not a prime minister. It's not a president. It's not a celebrity. It's not yourself. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the king. Look to Jesus. And everybody said. Now, I love this scripture because it ties in with last week. If you were here last week, we talked about the importance of being together and in one place. And I love it how this scripture starts off by, hey, we are surrounded. News to you this morning. Even when you're in this place, yes, you are surrounded, but wherever you go as a Christian, a believer in Jesus, it says there's a heavenly host watching. And that's an encouraging fact because you're not alone. I don't know if you've ever felt alone or you've ever felt that you're not noticed. And I had this thought this week as I actually got an opportunity to, I don't know if you've ever been there, it's quite fancy. Someone else paid for it, but it was at the Hotel Winston. Is it the Winston or Weston? Windsor. I knew it was English sounding. Thank you. Hotel Windsor for a lunch. And this lunch was put on by the state. And it was an invitation for some church planters, but also an invitation for some season passers, but more so heads of colleges, heads of universities to have this lunch. And the invitation came. I don't know. I said, fine. That sounds good to me. Free lunch. And, you know, wore my best suit to go along because I did Googled what is the dress code for the Windsor. And what I love about this lunch is, in fact, who was there was the head of Alpha Crucis as well, which is the Christian university, Australia's first Christian university. And he came out to me, his name was Andrew. We had a little bit of a conversation. We didn't have to have a big conversation. But when I left, I got a text from him the following day. And he said, look, it's great to see you. I'd love to catch up. Love to hear what you're doing. And I made the mistake of opening the text 10 minutes before I had to pick up the kids for school. And I looked at the text and I was like, there's no time for me to reply to this text now, but I'm going to reply to the text after I pick up the kids from school and get home because this is an important person to reply to. But I forgot. I don't know if you've ever left somebody on read. for all you Gen Zs, we call it being left on read, is you can see that the person has opened it, the person has read it, but they haven't replied. I don't know if you've ever done that to anybody, some important text or some important email or some important direct message, DM as they call them. Someone has messaged you, they can see you, I have seen it, but you, for some reason, haven't responded. I find text messaging still, although this may age me, still a very interesting way to communicate. There's all sorts of people who have different texting personalities. I don't know, just look straight ahead, but some of us have those friends who like to send 5 texts that could have fit into one. You know what I'm talking about? It's like ding, 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 ding. And you know exactly who that is because everybody has that friend. You know, there's the people who text you and they expect you to respond straight away. I'm sort of in the field of like, hey, if you wanted me to respond straight away, just give me a call. Just look straight ahead. I don't know if you've ever not been someone who's been left on read, but maybe you've sent a text to someone, maybe a, you know, a love interest, just look straight ahead. Maybe a direct message. Maybe it's to your wife asking an important question. You know, where does this go? Do you want me to take the burning food off the stove? Whatever it is that you've texted them. And then you can see that they've read it, but there's no response. I see some laughter. This is just, look, we're going to strip straight to the altar call. But in that time where you've messaged someone or you sent them a text and you know they've seen it, but they haven't responded, I don't know about you, but all sorts of things go through your head. It's like, why are they not responding? Like, do they not like me? Or are they trying to ignore me? Are they upset with me? Or, you know, did I not get the job? Or, you know, all these sort of things start going through your head. And then eventually you're like, they've just forgotten about me. And then you may go for a long season without even communicating to each other because one person maybe accidentally left you on read. The title of my message this evening is Being Left on Read. Because sometimes we can feel like when it comes to Jesus, we can pray to Jesus, we can ask, God, I need you to come through in this area, but it feels like there is no response. It feels like Jesus himself has left you on read. He can hear your prayers. We know from Scripture, he's omnipresent. He's heard your prayer. He knows your need. But it seems like Jesus has been left. Or Jesus has left you on read. We can feel alone and forgotten. And the start of this Scripture, sometimes in our walk with God, we can feel like we're doing it by ourselves. That we're all alone, that nobody understands, that you're in that valley moment, you're in that depth, and it seems like, hey, no one cares and no one is watching. And the first thing I want to pull from this Scripture, it says, hey, do not be dismayed because you are surrounded by a crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Just stop and think about that this morning. God sees, but people see as well. And what I love about the church and what I love about this togetherness and being in one place is that God actually positions us. The Bible says, Psalm 63, he puts the lonely in families, that God is not about isolation. He's about bringing you in a community that can walk and stand and encourage you on the journey. And since we are surrounded by these witnesses, since we have people cheering us on and encouraging us on, the verse then goes on. It says, hey, throw off every weight that slows us down. And then it pulls apart this one weight. It says this sin that so easily trips us up, Now, I feel every time I mention the word sin, it's always important to unpack this word sin because maybe you've seen a street preacher or a corner preacher and he said something like sin, you're a sinner, repent. And it seems like a sort of a religious term, but in fact, this word sin is better described as a word that means you've missed the mark. It's actually an archery term. It's not made for archery, but it was a term used in archery, meaning there's a target, but your arrow has missed the target. So when you see sin in the Bible, it literally means, hey, there was a destination for you to be on. There was a target for your life to reach, but you've missed it. And the Bible uses this term sin. And it's not always a bad thing. We think sin, we think, oh, there's something, there's a murderer or there's a criminal or there's whatever. Oh, they're sinners. But in fact, this sin is not a big evil word. It's a word meaning that, hey, we can miss the target or miss the mark or be walking on a different journey that God hasn't intended for you and I to be on. And sometimes in church, we can be sinning, we can be missing the mark. And I had a thought about this, what does that look like? And I wrote down some things, and it can look like this in a Christian walk, and I do this all the time, and I have to come to Jesus in repentance, but it can look like this. It's like, hey, God, I'm doing this, this, and this. Would you come on my plan? Would you come to what I'm doing? Would you come on my decisions and bless them? Where we read from Scripture, Jesus is not about fitting Jesus into your life. It's about asking Jesus the question, where do I fit in the life and the purpose that you've destined for me? We can be sinning. And that's why the Bible says you're never free from sin, or you're never not a sinner. And that's the reason that Jesus came, that off we have to return to him and repent. Because sometimes when we're trying to fit Jesus into what we're doing, or get Jesus or God to fit into what we're doing, it ends in frustration. Do I have any friends? It's like, I've been trying to do this. I've been trying to do this. God, I've been praying. Would you come through? And we're filled with frustration because Jesus is like, hey, who asked you to do that? I love this great quote that I shared with the team in the middle of this week. And it's from one of my favorite preachers. His name's Matt Chandler. He's a Baptist preacher in the USA. But he talks about this. He says that, hey, sometimes we try and prioritize God or prioritize church. Okay, I'm going to put him in the highest priority. I'm going to put him there. I'm going to put God first. And it really challenged my thinking in a sense that, hey, often I said this, hey, put God as a high priority. But what he says this, is Jesus is not just a priority. He's the paper in which you write your priorities on. Is that Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is the foundation of everything we do. We don't put him on the list of where he fits on our list of priorities, but he's actually the paper that we write our priorities on. Is this a bit hard this morning? No, we're good? All right. Shall we continue? I have two yeses from the front. That's all I need. Because sometimes this missing the mark, or these mistakes or past hurts, or as we've said, these sins can become heavy rocks that weigh us down. I love this analogy of this, the weight of sin. Throw off this weight that so easily slows us down. Because sometimes these rocks, they can sink us. Sometimes these past mistakes, these past regrets, they can sink us. Well, they may not sink us, but they can weigh us down. Or sometimes these rocks, we jump on social media and we chuck them at somebody else. But when you read the scripture, God asks us to take these rocks. Matt, this is an analogy you understand. Is you take these rocks and you bring them to God and you build an altar. That these mistakes that weigh us down or can sink us, God says, no, 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 bring them to me. Lay them at my feet. The scripture says, cast them down, especially these sins that so easily trip us up, and bring them to the feet of Jesus. And then the scripture that Donna read and we're sharing around this evening goes on. It says, once you've done that, it says you're free to run. But it doesn't say you're free to sprint. In fact, it says this term. It says, run with endurance. Do I have any runners in here? Nobody. Oh, we have one. Fantastic. Two. Let's go. It's quite popular to do long distance running right now. I see everyone wears sort of sneakers, even if they don't run, some running shoes. But it's an interesting thing I do know about endurance running versus sprinting. I'm quite a good sprinter, believe it or not. Endurance, definitely not my game. In fact, at the gym, there's a few young guys that are always trying to get me to, usually it's not young guys, actually, it's the older guys who are trying to get me to do long distance running. I tell them yes one day, but I don't have any intention of doing long distance running. It's not something I'm interested in. Long distance running is very different from sprinting. Sprinting, I know a lot about. You can see the finish line, you hold your breath, the gunshot goes or the buzzer goes, and you just run as fast as your little legs will take you, or big legs, whatever it is, will take you. And if, before you know it, you're at the finish line. But endurance running is a different game. You got to pace yourself. You got to make sure you ate the right spaghetti bolognese, the right carbohydrates the day before, get all those fancy gels, have those fancy shoes that cost $400 and you can only run 3 races in them. You know, have the app that tracks where you go and you can tell everyone on social media all the kilometers and how many minutes you've done that week and nobody really cares. It's a different sport. It's a different game. You can't see the finish line. And God uses this term in Hebrews 12 that to run this race with endurance, that you may not see the end, you may not see the destination. And parts of that race, you might find yourself running your own pace, your mind going, I just need to get to the next corner. I just need to get to the next post. I need to pace my breathing. Oh, I've got a stitch. I need to push through it because I need to get to where I need to get to. And I think it's such a beautiful analogy when God uses this term of an endurance race, not a sprint, because it's not just hold your breath, say your prayers and go and you'll be at the end before you know it. No, it's a journey. And it's a long one. You have to train for it. All my endurance runners said, amen. I can see you up the back. But endurance in the Christian walk is similar in this sense, because sometimes it feels like you're not getting anywhere. You can't see the destination, you're just on the journey. It doesn't always feel like growth. It doesn't always feel like momentum. Sometimes this endurance, walking the journey with God, can feel like waiting, can feel like obscurity, can be feel like silence from God. What I've discovered that God is sometimes in the silence. I don't know if you've ever been in that season of waiting. Young adults, just look right ahead in this moment. It's like, oh, you see all your friends. She's getting married. He's getting married. They've got a girlfriend. They've got a boyfriend. You think, God, where's my turn? You know, I've been waiting. Maybe you're here and you've been waiting for something a little bit different to that. Maybe you've been waiting for children. Lord, we've been trying it. We've been praying. We've been believing in it. Feels like I've been left on red and I'm waiting, but it seems like nothing is happening. Maybe you're waiting for a breakthrough, maybe not in a relational situation, but maybe you're waiting for a breakthrough in a health situation. God, I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been seeking, I've been doing all the right things, but it feels like I'm just running this race, but I can't see the finish line. Maybe you've been waiting for that promotion. Lord, I know you see, but God, would you just spark my boss to see all the things that I'm doing? But how come they get promoted before I get promoted? They're not even a Christian. They don't even know you. And it seems like you've been waiting. Maybe in here you're a parent, or maybe in here you're a son and a daughter. You've been waiting for the salvation of a loved one. I know that's my prayer. I pray for my mom. I pray for my dad. Lord, would they come to know you? 15 years in, and sometimes it feels like I'm just waiting. There's another guy in the Bible in it. He's been in this journey of waiting, and it seems like all the things in his life are beginning to fall apart. There's things weighing on his mind. His name is Jacob. And I love this story in Genesis 32 because we hear about Jacob. He got a promise from God at a young age that, hey, this is the end of the finish line. This is where I'm going to get you to. This is the prize. But he made some decisions. He made some mistakes. He made some poor judgment and betrayal of family members. And he goes to a faraway land and he's quite successful because the favor of God is on his life. Things are happening. He finds himself a wife. He amasses a great fortune, but still in the back of his mind, he has this, you know what, I ripped off my brother Esau. And in Genesis 32, we hear that many years on, he begins to head back to the land of his birth because he wants to mend things with his brother Esau, but he knows Esau will be ticked. And as the Bible says, about halfway there, he gets word that his brother's coming out to meet him, and he thinks the worst. We know in the scripture that Jacob wasn't a burly man. It says that he enjoyed cooking and the finer things. Yet his brother, it describes him as covered with hair, like a bear, a manly man. So he's thinking, oh my gosh, I'm about to get into warfare with a gorilla and I'm about to lose. So he has a moment where it feels like time has passed by. And he's like, you know what, God, if you're going to come through at any time, you need to come through now. And what he does in that moment, it says he puts his family to the side and he goes up into a mountain at the middle of the night. And it says, as he's up in that mountain praying to God, it says along comes a figure. And the Bible tells us that this figure is actually God. It's the pre-incarnate Jesus before Jesus is born and ascended. But he can't see because it's a nighttime, and he begins to wrestle with God. All my jiu-jitsu fans said, amen. So he's got Jesus in an armbar, a rear naked choke, butterfly guard. And they're wrestling all night, but none of them can sort of get on top of each other. There's no words being expressed. And eventually daylight's about to come. And we can speculate that Jesus, like, he's going to know because the light's coming up that I'm actually God. And he says, let me go. And what I love about Jacob as he's alone in the dark wrestling with God, God is silent up until the last minute. And then Jacob says to him, these are key words for you. Let these be your words. I will not let you go until you bless me. Sometimes it feels like we're on that endurance race. Sometimes it feels like we've been praying, believing, doing the right things, and it seems like nothing is happening. Endurance is not about speed. It's about that staying power. It's about having that heart's cry, God, I'm not going to stop doing this until you bless me. Not giving up, pursuing intimacy with God, even when it feels dry, even when you're in the thick of the battle. And sometimes I believe God wants us to do this. Do not give up. Run with endurance. You've thrown off that weight. But as the scripture goes on, it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Before I get to that, I just want to unpack a little bit. What does it mean to have intimacy with God? What does it mean to have an intimate relationship with God? What is it to know? What is it like to not just come to church and be labeled as a Christian, but to actually have a relationship with God? Well, first of all, we need to know, like Jacob, how to get into that secret place. That we can come on Sunday, we can worship. I had a conversation at that lunch with some pastors, and they were talking about, hey, I don't think a service is important. I said, I disagree. Because there needs to be a moment where we can come together, we can get into the atmosphere of God, we can worship together, we can pray and encourage one another, but that does not discount. There needs to be a moment where we need to know how to get into that secret place where there's no angelic voice for my brother Dan here leading us in worship, except if you're married to him, Clara, then you're very lucky. There's times where there's no preacher who's reading the scripture to us, it's just us and our Bible. And there's times where no one else can hear our prayers, but the echo is bouncing off the walls of wherever we're praying, this secret place. And over the next few weeks, I want to unpack with you some of the things I've learned. My wife's going to speak as well. But some of the things I've learned about prayer. You know what? This is a line, a quote I love about prayer. Here's one. Write it down. It says this, when you refuse to pray, even easy things become hard. But when you pray, even hard things seem to become easy. I'm going to say that again. When you refuse to pray, it seems like even easy things become hard. But when you pray, it's amazing how hard things seem to become easy. This prayer, this scripture, give you a little bit of a introduction. When it comes to reading the Bible, if you don't have a Bible, come see me after. I brought another whole bunch of them. I'd love to give you a Bible. when it comes to scripture. It's not about binge. It's not about, hey, I need to read the whole Bible in a week or even read it in a year. I don't think I've ever read the whole Bible in a year. Don't throw stones at me, but I just like to sit there and I like to unpack it. I like to spend my time in the Word of God. I said, God, I'm in no rush. I'm going to read this for the rest of my life. If I feel an urge to read the Bible in a year, I might be questioning, God, is my time up? That's a joke. It's not a binge, but it's a rhythm, a slow, steady, strategic study. I love having a chat with my friend, ChatGPT, with questions, asking him Bible questions. I don't know why I called him a him. It's an AI. But Chad, yours is Chad? Fantastic. That's even scarier. You've named it. But I love to study the Word of God. I love to spend time in it. I don't feel pressured to have everything done in one night. It's not a binge. I want to encourage you. I'm going to teach you how to unpack the scripture and meditate and soak on the Word of God. Being able to worship. Personal worship, not just Sunday-led. I spoke to one of the generals in faith. Her name is Marilyn Skinner. She and her husband planted a fantastic church and did a lot of great miracles in the Uganda and in Africa. And I had a conversation with her and she said this one thing that's just been mulling over my mind. She said, you know what? The presence of God is not about being in a worship service. She said, draw a circle in your room and worship until you sense the presence of God. And once you sense the presence of God, you go to church and you bring it with you. That's like beautiful. Got a big piece of chalk on my rental carpet. Draw a circle. I didn't. All these things may be hard and sometimes they seem boring, but it's about digging those deep roots into intimacy with God. It's being able to hear God in the waiting. I'm going to have a little bit of a confession with you. Don't panic. But I'm trying to eat healthy at the moment. In fact, I have a lifestyle of where I'm trying to eat healthy. But what the confession is that, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, just look ahead and feel sorry for me. But, you know, our stove or our cooktop is right next to our pantry. And often our pantry is left open. And our pantry is all filled with all sorts of kids' snacks just staring at me. Sometimes I swear they speak to me. I can hear them, you know, trying to convince me that it's okay to eat them. And here I am. I find myself often trying to cook a healthy meal, and healthy meals take time to cook. In fact, cooking anything takes time to cook. And sometimes I'm just looking at it and I'm having this conversation with the pantry and I'm looking at the food I'm cooking and the pantry saying to me, hey, look, your food's nearly done anyway. You might as well just have one bite or have one cookie or, you know, just have that raw 2-minute noodles. It's not going to affect you. You're going to eat clean food. That Tim Tam, you know, one Tim Tam, no one even noticed the Tim Tam's going. Maybe you've had the similar conversation. And probably more times than not, I find myself being defeated by that conversation. And I just grab myself a sour worm or a bit of party mix or a Tim Tam. And that convincing of the Tim Tam, they just said one, but all of a sudden I find myself that packet has got two left. And then I say a conversation like this, well, there's only two left. I might as well finish the whole packet. And then what happens? My meal's done. But now I'm no longer hungry for the healthy meal because I've just binged on something that instantly fills me with regret. And sometimes in this waiting for the right things to come, we find ourselves tempted to binge on things. And we have the same conversation. The enemy's voice is always the same, whether your crux is food or something else. It's like, hey, just one. It's okay. Or maybe it's like this, oh, everybody else is doing it. Why can't you do it? Oh, yeah, you'll do that one day. The healthy, the good thing, the right thing. You can do that one day. Just have one of these right now and you'll be good. Try before you buy. But just like my food story, we can find ourselves in a situation where our appetite for what God has all of a sudden doesn't seem like an appetite anymore because we've filled ourselves with the inferior substitute. God speak to me so clearly as with this food analogy is sometimes eating healthy food, we don't see the benefit straight away. But we meet people all the time in their later life who are either grateful or regretful because they didn't make those decisions all the way back then to be careful with their health. And I want to encourage you as a Christian There's decisions that we can make now that may be sweet and enjoyable, like that Tim Tam. But we won't see the regret of that for many years down the line. God does not have that for you. God's saying, get intimate with me. This is the result of real intimacy with God, is that we are able to have the strength to say no to those temporary temptations. And like Jacob, we can wrestle with God and come away blessed by God himself. You know, it's an interesting thing about this story is it says when Jacob wrestled with God and he says, I won't leave until you bless me, it says that God himself touches Jacob on the hip, pushes his hip out of his socket. And it says from that day forward to the rest of his life, Jacob walked with a limp. You know what I've noticed in my 20 years serving the Lord is you can tell when someone's been wrestling with God. You can tell when someone's walked those walks and walked those valleys and gone through those trials and pushed through temptation and fought some fights to God, fit in where you've got me rather than God, would you fit in where I'm going? Because they walk different. They look different. They sound different. I want to belong to a church. I want to belong, come on, to a group of people who don't just sound different on Sunday, but look different on Monday. Can someone give me an amen? I said I was going to get back to this, my last point. But we don't do this by our own strength. Come on, we don't run this endurance race by performance. This scripture says we do this. It gives us the answer. It gives us how to do this. It says we do this by keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. These intimacy things I talked about, this is what keeps us, our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Here's a scripture for you, Philippians 3:14. It says this, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize from which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling on. I press on to reach, but we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. I want to encourage you this afternoon. Jesus has already finished the race. He's already qualified Q1 for all my Formula One friends. The Bible says he's the firstborn of all creation. He's at the beginning of the grid. He has finished the race, like he said at the resurrection, at the crucifixion. It is finished. Jesus has finished the race. It's not anything that we have to do. It's by realizing and focusing on the one who has already done. I read that today there's 45,000 religions on earth. 45,000. And all those 45,000 religions, they are spelt like this. D-O. Do. Do this. Do that. Pray this many times. Do this many pilgrimages. Don't eat this. Do eat this. But Christianity is the only religion that's spelt D-O-N-E. Done. It's about not striving, stressing, having to perform. We have to understand that our performance is by focusing on, hey, Jesus has already done it and receiving that free gift. Yes, of salvation, but that free gift of journeying with God. He's not leaving you on red. He knows where you are. He knows where you've been, and he knows where you're going. Because I don't have spirit keys today, we're still going to stand on our feet, and I want to pray for you. So could you stand with us just as we finish? I want to pray for a few things this evening, and I'm believing God has already spoken to you. But maybe as I was speaking, maybe you're in this first category of people, and you would be honest in this moment with Jesus that it feels like you're in the middle of waiting. And I would say to you, if you're in this moment where you feel like you're in the middle of waiting, don't waste this season. Don't binge on substitutes when God is preparing a real meal for you. If you feel like you're in the middle of the wrestle, bring your wrestle into the proximity of God. Friend, I would encourage you, he's not intimidated by your questions. He's not intimidated by your frustrations. In fact, he invites them. He invites you to come and say, hey, speak to me if it feels like you are in waiting. With your head bowed and eyes closed, so you could just focus on Jesus. Maybe you're in a second group and you would say, in this moment, it feels like you're carrying some weight. There's some weight that you're carrying. And I would ask you this question, what is it that you're dragging around that God in this moment is asking you to put down? Or maybe to build an altar with to him. You're saying, I don't want to be dragged around. I don't want to drag this weight of my past. I don't want to drag this weight of this regret anymore. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's disappointment. Here we go. Maybe it's the expectation that you've put on yourself of what a cultural Christian should look like. I want to encourage you in the next few moments, would you bring that weight and would you lay it at his feet today? Or maybe you're here and you would say, you feel like you're one that's lost that rhythm of connecting with God. And here's the thought I want to give to you. It's not about how you need to catch up. It's about how you need to come back. That intimacy with God is a decision. It's not about a feeling. No longer have this microwaved relationship with God. Here's your call and your stir to go deep this evening. So if that's you in this moment, no spirit keys, no music, but just the sound of the Holy Spirit's voice entering your head right now. If that's you, you're in that waiting. You're saying, you know what, I'm wrestling with you, God, but I'm bringing it to you, God. I'm not wasting this moment where I don't have this, I don't have that. I'm not going to binge, I'm not going to substitute, but God, I trust that you're preparing a real meal for me. Or if you feel like there's this weight that you've been dragging, it's just been slowing you down, you're saying, today I'm going to bring it to your feet. Or maybe you're saying, look, I've just been casual in my relationship with you. I've stepped out of that rhythm of grace. I've stepped out of that rhythm of my relationship with you. And today I'm not catching up, but I'm coming back. With every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just put your hand on your heart and say, that's me. That's me. And if that's you this afternoon, what I'm going to do is something a little bit different. Is I've written down a prayer and I'm just going to lead you through a prayer. And the key like this prayer, like a salvation prayer, is in this moment, I want you to, as I lead you, just be sincere and go, hey, this is what I'm giving to you. I want you to repeat after me, if this is you, in a big voice. Here we go. Jesus, I believe in your finished work. Jesus, you've run the race before me. Come on. Help me lay down my weights. Help me to run with endurance. And help me to fix my eyes on you. Fix my eyes on my Savior, my strength, and my source. Lord, I just thank you for everybody right here. Lord, I just thank you in this moment. We stop, we pause, we acknowledge you, we invite you in. God, we just say, Holy Spirit, would you do what only you can do? Lord, I thank you for your church. Lord, I thank you that you've called us to belong. I thank you that we can gather and receive and encourage. But Lord, I pray that this do not end just this evening, but as we step into Monday, would you be with each and every single person in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen.